Thanks for listening to one of the many podcasts produced by KMUW in Wichita. We're nonprofit, and most funding comes from individuals. If you can donate $15 or $150, it will help make more content that informs and illuminates. Elevate your voice with a gift at KMUW.org. And thanks.
From KMUW Wichita,
from Toronto, Ontario,
and from Armenia, Spain,
this is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's a language grab bag kind of day. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. And joining me, of course, as they do each week, language experts and New York Times best-selling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hey there, Ross Petras. You're at your home in Toronto. How's everything in Toronto today, Ross?
It's doing great, Fletcher. Another sunny day.
Goodness.
I'm very happy.
Gracious.
Nice and cool and crisp. Good fall weather.
Perfect weather all the time in Toronto. Kathy Petras, hello, how are you? Is it still raining on the non-plains in Spain?
No, it is not.
Oh, okay.
The rain has abated, so life continues wonderfully.
Before we get going today, thank you to Jeff, who's a listener from Heston, Kansas, not too far from here in Wichita. We talked the other week about Sumerians counting to 12, you know, on one hand because they would use the knuckles. Well, Jeff is a math teacher at Heston College, and he sent me a really nice detailed explanation of how the Sumerians could actually count to 60 by using the knuckles on one hand and then using the fingers on the other hand. I won't go into the whole thing right now, but it was really fun to see. So thank you, Jeff, for sending that along to us. We always love to hear from our listeners who know a lot more about some things than we do.
Okay, we got an email from Brianna, and she wrote, "It could be interesting to have an episode on the origins of different word tense and grammatical terms, participle, etc. Thanks for considering." Well, I don't want to go, we didn't want to go through an entire episode of like, what's a gerund? What's this? What's that?
Actually, so you did too.
I did.
Kathy wouldn't allow it.
We're going to start with one term grammatically, and we're going to sprinkle these topics throughout the year. So let's don't do it. Let's put it that way. So let's start with what Brianna first mentioned, participle, and let's ask Fletcher for a quick definition of participle.
Can't do it.
Hey, look, you batted 1,000 last time. We gotta get you now. Yeah. All right.
See, I mean, I'm all right when you give me choices. As I've expressed many times, I am very much not the expert in that. I don't actually know what a lot of these terms mean. I'm pretty good at making a sentence and knowing how to say something, but I don't know the rules behind those, and I certainly don't know a lot of the definitions of terms that we use a lot of the time. So I don't know what we're talking about when we talk about a participle. I genuinely do not.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
For me, I think I really first started learning these terms when I was doing Spanish in high school. I don't recall really learning this stuff. Did you, Ross, in English?
Mom did. Mom taught. I came back and I was like sort of confused by something in English, and Mom taught me how to diagram sentences.
Mm.
And then from there gave me the terms, and I was fascinated by it.
Oh, Mom and I just went shopping. We never did anything like that.
I got really into like how words work. It really got me.
Yeah.
Also, when we were little kids, Dad gave me that book on ancient Egyptian hieroglyphs, and they had all like, this is the gerund, this is the participle, this is the verbal noun. I thought like, what are those words? So I got into it. A participle, Fletcher, is a word formed from a verb, and it's either an adjective or an adverb. There are two participles in English. A past participle, which normally has an ed ending, looked, ended.
But not always.
Not always, because there are like those irregular, pesky irregular verbs we've talked about. And then there are present participles, which are Kathy's favorite, and those are ing participles.
I love ings. I do. Sorry.
And like, you know, we can say like, the crying Fletcher had a wet diaper. Okay?
I beg your pardon, Ross. I think you're impugning him. Impugning, not a gerund, but...
And then we have a past participle, you know, like, was it Fletcher's wrecked car was totaled. Rect is the past participle there. It's modifying the word car. It tells you a little bit more about car in the past participle case.
Oh.
And in the present participle case, we have Fletcher. What's Fletcher doing? He's crying. Okay?
So it's not just conjugating a verb.
No.
It's creating a new word that's modifying something else.
Well, yeah. And then there's also, just to get technical here, there's also a gerund. And a gerund is sort of the same look of that, but that case it's a noun. Like, for example, crying is Fletcher's favorite pastime. Crying here is the noun. It's a sub, you know, it's the subject of the verb here. That's where it's a gerund. Okay?
I always like gerunds.
I like the word. That's a verbal noun. But participles are either adjectives or adverbs.
So what I always hear about, of course, are dangling participles. Right. So
we're going to get into those, Fletcher.
Oh, OK. All right.
Very soon.
then I'll wait. I'll wait. I can wait. I swear.
Fletcher, we can actually start now. Do you want to? Do you want to do a dangling participle quickly? He said it. Let's do it.
OK. Dangling participle. It's like the adjective is modifying the wrong noun. It's like it happens a lot in writing nowadays.
It's the clause.
Yeah.
Arriving at the city, the buildings were so tall. Now, the obvious thing with that dangling participle is we kind of know what it means. He's arriving at the city and he sees these tall buildings. But it doesn't make... It's not modifying anything.
It's not really...
It's dangling and with nothing connected to it.
I like this. This one definition I really like, I had seen, and it says, a dangling participle is a modifier in search of a word to modify.
Yes.
It's just hanging around going like, I would love to modify something.
Yeah. Hey, in that term, dangling participle, is dangling a participle?
Yes. Very good, Fletcher.
Hey, I got something.
It's defining. Very good. It's defining what kind of participle it is. I love dangling participles because they're fun to you know. No, I just love how they go. I don't know. I like misplaced modifiers, too.
Yeah.
You know, which
but
is
most
the
of them is most misplaced are dangling, aren't they?
No. Well, I mean, the Groucho Marx one. One morning I shot an elephant in my pajamas. How I get into my pajamas, I'll never know. That's a misplaced modifier in that case. It's not a participle. It's just a misplaced modifier. But I always like that one. But I think we're okay with dangling participles now. We understand the problem there,
yeah,
right?
there's a participle there with nothing actually to modify. Even though we might know what the sentence means with context, if you just look at the sentence itself, it doesn't actually make sense.
Right. There's a huge debate now. Like some people are saying, well, come on, let's don't overdo it. It's obvious what it is. I think they're not good. I think they should be corrected when you see them. But I've read some people say that's too prescriptivist.
That's interesting because I agree with you, Ross. I mean, I'm very loose, so to speak. Excuse me. I just realized what that sounded like.
Excuse me, Kathy. Yeah.
But no, I agree with you. I think that is wrong. I think like, you know, running to the river, the boat got away or something is wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if I'm running to the river and I see the boat going away, if you run to the river, I notice the boat going away or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, hey, I, what?
Oh, for once AI is pretty good. Here I have some really good examples of dangling participles. Driving around the corner, the sun shone into Katerina's eyes. You completely understand what's happening.
Oh, right. She was the one driving around the corner.
Right.
Yeah.
Or walking through the kitchen, the smoke alarm was going off again.
Yeah, what we've left off is as I was walking through the kitchen.
And I agree, we do fill it in so we understand. And right, you know, it's communications. It is communicating, but it's wrong. I'm sorry, I do think that's wrong.
Yeah.
But this is, can I go to my pet peeve, Ross, or not?
Of course you can, Kathy.
Thank you, Ross. You're very kind. This is something I really rant about all the time. And unfortunately, Ross is at the end of my rants often because he and I are working together.
But I agree with your rant. I actually really do. I strongly agree with you.
This is a tangent, but it's similar to misplaced modifier or a dangling modifier. But to me, I belong to this grammar group, and they put up ostensibly humorous things that everybody goes like, oh, we're very smart, and we got this. And I find it irritating, which is why I read it all the time now. And somebody put up, I can't help it, I have a very rich life. But somebody put this up, and I thought, I want to hear what you think about this. This was a headline. It said it was on Cairo Channel 7 Seattle. It said, 20-year-old woman arrested after infant, toddler found in car seats by dumpster. So the guy writes, kudos to an alert dumpster. And I said, come on. That's, will ya? It's obvious what they're saying. It's not a misplaced modifier. They're saying they were found in car seats were by the dumpster.
Well, it is
a headline.
It is a misplaced modifier, technically. The question we both had was, one, this is like a tiny headline that you're trying to get a quick point across with the fewest words. And in that case, and it's obvious to all of us the meaning, what's going on. We know dumpsters don't find toddlers in car seats. Mm-hmm. So what's your...
Wait a minute, Ross. Why is it misplaced? Technically, I don't see it misplaced. The car seats are... I'm seeing compound noun, car seats by dumpster.
I am too, but you're saying the by dumpster you're modifying. So it could be,
but it's not.
It could be. It could be toddler found by dumpster in car seats. Is what they're
thinking. I understand, but that never.
But I mean, that's what I think. It's ridiculous. I don't have any problem with it. This is actually leading us in a very brilliant segue to something called squinting or ambiguous modifiers, and we're going to leave dumpsters out of this section.
Although, can I interject and say the more often you say the word dumpster or see it,
it's an ugly word.
Oh, I kind of like it now. It's become like my pal.
Well, you could leaving Kathy near the dumpster or in the dumpster or next to the dumpster.
By the dumpster.
Okay. Do you know, Fletcher, do you know what a squinting modifier is?
No, but it sounds like something that you really have to take a hard look at to figure out what it's modifying.
Yes, and that's brilliant, and you got it right. We're going to read you one right now, and it uses a participle too, possibly.
Okay. Fletcher works in a restaurant serving shrimp.
At least he's not crying.
Because of my diaper.
That you said, yeah. I'm at least serving shrimp. Fletcher works in a restaurant serving shrimp.
Okay, so I am the one serving shrimp, but it seems like possibly the restaurant is serving shrimp.
Right.
Which it
is.
That's
the perfect definition of a squinting modifier.
Okay.
It makes sense either way.
Mm. And you can't be sure.
Sure.
What is it exactly modifying?
Are you serving shrimp? Are you the shrimp server in the restaurant? Or does the restaurant serve shrimp among other things? We don't know.
Okay, this is one, though. This was an example we ran across, and this is we need your input on this.
Read the sentence, and then I'm going to read what they say, and then I want to see if Fletcher finds it, okay?
The sentence that we found as an example of a squinting modifier was, I'm looking for a new car that's fuel efficient.
Okay, now I'm going to read to you what they said. In this sentence, the words, that's fuel efficient, are acting as a squinting modifier. They could modify the word car, in which case you'd be looking for a fuel efficient car, or they could modify the word looking, in which case you're not looking for just any new car, you're specifically looking for a fuel efficient one.
Wait, what's the difference?
That's what we had. Do you see it?
No.
We can't figure it out. We were like, it seems exactly the same.
I'm going to repeat it again. In this sentence, fuel efficient could modify the word car, mm-hmm. in which case you'd be looking for a fuel efficient car, or you could modify the word looking, in which case you're not looking for just any new car, you're looking for a fuel efficient one. It's the same thing.
Which is by the dumpster.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, this seems like one of those silly little word games that linguists might play. I mean, it's like there is no difference. And it seems like maybe somebody trying to make one up in a real technical way.
It's like hair splitting, isn't it?
It's even finer than that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like filament splitting. I don't know. What is that nano noodle thing they just came up with splitting?
Yeah. Actually, can I throw a few more out just to see if we can get them?
Yeah.
Okay. Taking a moment to think clearly improves your chances.
Yeah, that's a better one. Because the squinting I was doing before was me squinting about how I couldn't actually find a difference. But this
Thank
one,
you.
Yeah, the squinting I'm doing now is that there actually is a difference. Yeah.
Because, I mean, hear it again. Taking a moment to think clearly improves your chances. That seems to me you have to think clearly.
Taking a moment to think clearly improves your chances.
This is a much better, at least a clearer example of this squinting modifier.
Try this one. Cycling up hills quickly strengthens your quadriceps.
Right.
Okay, that's a good one. Because it's like, does it quickly do it or do you have to cycle quickly?
Right.
That's a good one.
Right.
Well, that doesn't jive with our knowledge of English, Fletcher.
Right. Technically, it does jibe with it. It lines up with it. It doesn't jive with it, although that's what people say a lot now.
Yeah.
And also, even though I don't, I got to say it seems a little weird when people actually say jibe and do it correctly. It always feels a little weird because I'm so used
Fletcher,
to people.
I'm never going to speak to you again.
No, I have to say, this is like one of, I'm fairly liberal on people using words differently. This one drives me up the wall.
Yeah, never.
Me too, Ross, I'm the same. Yeah,
but I'm so used to people saying jive at this point that it's almost a little weird to me when I actually hear somebody say jibe.
Well, you have to hang around with us more often.
I almost need a muzzle when I hear people. I mean, I really have to stop myself when someone goes, that doesn't jive with what I'm like, you know, like, I get what Kathy might term apoplectic.
Indeed. And rightly. Apoplectically. No, I this is one that drives me crazy. I'm with you, Ross. I can't handle it. And I know you're right, Fletcher. It's around all the time. This is one that I do correct people on. I can't help it. I do.
What was interesting to me, though, with this whole thing is, I mean, do you know how recent jive is, Fletcher? That was fascinating.
The term jive?
Yes, not jive, but jive. Because the confusion really came late into English.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Because jive is relatively recent, and I'm already giving it away, but do you know how recent it is?
I would have guessed early 20th century.
Well, as usual, Fletcher, you're correct. From the
He's
roaring
really
20s.
He's really driving me crazy with that, I must say.
Close associations with jazz, Harlem, and, you know, Black American English. Kath, what was the first one I think we had found?
It was Louis Armstrong. Oxford had it as OED. Was 1928. Louis Armstrong record, Don't Jive Me. I like the word jive, actually. And that's why I don't think it should be used incorrectly, because it's such a great word. It really is. It was totally African-American vernacular word and caught on so quickly and mainly through jazz.
But I agree with Kathy, though, because the distinction, I think, is really important. I think jive has like a real distinct. I mean, it changed. Jive initially had a good connotation. Then it came to be, you know, jive talk is a bad thing. But it has a clear meaning to it that really differentiates itself from jibe. Which I think is one of those distinctions that I think makes language richer and better. I like the distinction.
But don't you think jive could work in that sense if it's got a good connotation? I mean, that doesn't jive with me. That's not cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different, though, to me, than saying this doesn't jive, doesn't connect.
Yeah, but nobody really uses the word anymore except when they... when they use it incorrectly.
Incorrectly, quote, right?
And nobody's talking about jive, really. I mean, I shouldn't say nobody. I never hear anybody talking about jive anything anymore, unless it's whether something jives with me or not.
Interesting.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, actually. That's an interesting point, Fletcher.
Okay, yeah, jive with the facts. Jive with the, does anyone say...
You'd only say it with jibe. I mean, jibe, that doesn't jibe with. That's all, the only use. It's almost like a fossilized word.
Okay, right? But when do you use jive now, other than like jive talk? You're talking about like, you know, old music, actually.
This really got me, too. You know what jibe is related to, they think, phonetically? I love how phonetic
jibe,
words change.
Jibe with a B?
Jibe. Yeah, jibe with a B. You know, J-I-B-E. Yeah.
No, I guess I don't.
Fascinating. Chime.
Chime?
Because the old usage would be, this doesn't chime with me. Isn't that cool?
Oh, wow.
I'm fascinated because Jibe, J-I-B-E, I'm seeing, is primarily...
It's American.
Yeah.
It's mostly American usage. Brits don't do it.
No.
And I was really... I've been curious about that. Like, I really want to say this doesn't and have some Brit person go, oh, we had a British house guest last week. Darn it, I should have asked when I think
Ross, you
it.
Blow it.
I know.
We're not going to... Are we going to mention Jibe with a G? No. Must we? No.
Yeah, there's another Jibe spelled with a G. G-Y-B-E or G-I-B-E. Which is something to do with sailing, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have nothing, I know nothing about sailing, so I think we'll leave that.
Well, no, the jibe, G-I-B-E, meaning to sneer.
Oh, jibe is in a sneer, too. There's that word, too. You're right.
Yeah, then there's G-Y-B-E. Randy was in the Navy. I can ask him. Did they ever talk about jibe? I don't think so.
You know what? With all these jibes flying around, spelled all these different ways with all these different meanings, why don't we just use jive?
Okay, I'm in. I'm always for the streamline. Also, if Cab Calloway did it, it's good enough for me.
You know, I do want to say, when I write it or say it, which is not often, but I do say jibe. I do say J-I-B-E, or I write J-I-B-E. Mm-hmm. As much as I'm arguing in favor of allowing jive, it does kind of annoy me, but... Mm-hmm. But I mean, for all of these reasons that I've given, I think, you know, okay, let it be, you know.
I think you made a good case. I think you made a good case, Fletcher. Yeah. I agree with it. I'll agree with
it. I don't.
I'm still not going to like it. Oh, but do you know, I just looked this up, though. I didn't know this. They think jive may have come from an African word, a Wolof word, jev, meaning talk about something absent, especially in a disparaging manner. That's so interesting.
Hmm.
I love that,
makes sense,
the play
actually
of other words into English. Like, I mean, and it could have come from, you know, people enslaved from African Americans and then come, you know, using that word and then kind of crossing. It's really interesting. Jev. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say, though. But that ain't no jive. Let's put it that way.
I keep hearing the Bee Gees right now, and it's jiving me crazy.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petrus records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petrus from his home in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. Torrin Anderson composed our theme music, and our digital team is Beth Golay, Kate Hutchins, and Carly Cooper. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at kandrpetrus@gmail.com. You can also email us a voice memo of you asking it your question. You might get your voice heard on air. If you'd like to do the same thing by downloading the KMUW app, you can do that and just click the Talk to Us button. You can find all of Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR.